I have some huge news for you. One, the Answer the Call podcast is back and genuinely better than ever because it's not just me anymore. In this episode, I am so excited to introduce you to Audrey Bagaris, my fellow career coach who has been serving behind the scenes, and all of our clients know and love her, for the last year. It is December 2023 when I'm recording this. We started together and she joined the team in January. And now it's time for, thanks to her help, us to really get back on the train with producing so much amazing free content for you guys and getting back to the podcast. Now, enhanced by having her opinion in it as well. She is such a dear addition to the team that has made such a huge impact. And so I'm using this episode to introduce you to her, but also if you're new to me, we mutually share more about our backgrounds, why we started the Called Career and why we do this work, and more of our thoughts behind why a Christian career coaching practice. So enjoy listening in. And also, I hope that you enjoy celebrating with us that we are back and going to be in your podcast downloads every Tuesday with content for Christians who want to discern their calling and practically land a job or start a business that's aligned with it. One last side note, if you are listening to this on the day it releases, December 12th, 2023, then stay tuned. In just 2 days, we are dropping something so big. So go to, well, I don't even know if I should say. Well, if it's the cat's already out of the bag, you are going to get to go to our new website, which will be linked in the show notes below, that does justice to giving a new visual representation and brand to the fact that it's not just me anymore. All right. Enjoy that coming to you on Thursday, December 14th. That has been pretty much a year in the making. So stay tuned. And now for the episode. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited.
Yes, it's not just me anymore over here. So I am very grateful for, even though we've been working together for over almost a year, hot digging dog. It's about time that our clients and like listeners really get to hear more about your story as well as mine, because the vast majority of people come to us through Googling Christian career coach. So there are probably more than not people who are totally new to both me and you and the Called Career. So this is going to be a great opportunity to share a lot of the honest questions that I know people ask us, like, how did you get into this? Like, what, how did you, why did you create this practice? What are your faith backgrounds? Why is this a career coaching practice for Christians? And what does faith really have to do with it? Are you going to just make me like cheesily like pray a lot and then just like get down to business? Or how does it truly integrate? So I'm very excited to share all of that, as well as more insights behind my background professionally before I came into career coaching, as well as yours and how our skill sets complement and now allow us to serve a lot more people. So with that, I figured a great place to start is just giving a little synopsis of why I started the Called Career and what the, at this point in, at the end of October 2023 of recording this, the 5.5 year journey that it's been since the founding, and getting to serve a couple hundred people in the process so far, Lord willing, many more. So I am Kelsey Kemp, for anyone who is new around here. Audrey, I'm just going to look at you at this recording. I'm going to...
It's okay. No, it's perfect. Not long.
You asked me this question. So, and I suppose we're going to get our YouTube up and running. So people might actually get to see this in real life. Like,
my favorite way to consume podcasts, YouTube, because then I
Me too.
Have that on the screen.
So maybe people are watching our faces and not just hearing our voices.
Exactly.
Anyway, so I started out in, I think my story really, I could tell it through a diversity of means, but I would say a good synopsis of who I am and how God called me to be a career coach is I started really with my soul intent professionally, starting from a really young age, was to be a professional ballet dancer. And so I was homeschooled. I trained morning and night. I went to like a ballet boarding school for my last year of high school, preparing for this ultimate moment, 12 years in the making. I pretty much donated my childhood to it, of becoming a professional athlete slash artist. And right around that time, I ended up landing myself in a wheelchair, having stress fractures in every single metatarsal in both of my feet. And I tried to go back 3 times, healed, returned, got injured again, healed, returned, got injured again 3 times. And in the end, like, I felt like nothing could stop me. And my heart was so in it. So it had to be external forces. So that dream got shut down by a doctor telling me that I was going to cripple myself, and the director of the ballet school telling me I wasn't invited back because I just had gotten injured way too much. So all in one day, I started practicing for the ACTs and had to reimagine my life. And I mentioned the origin story starting there because I really, really, really know what it's like to lose out on a big dream or spend a significant portion of my life thinking it was going to be one thing. And then just like record scratch moment, wow, that's not actually how my life is going to turn out. So I spent all of my college years really wondering if God would give me another dream, or if that was just some selfish, silly childhood aspiration, and maybe I really need to get over the idea of loving my career again. So I just kind of tried to do the faithful thing, which at the time I just knew I have to be responsible, kind of take my parents' ideas for what I should do with my career. So I studied business in college, specifically supply chain management, which at the time was a new major and nobody really knew what that was. But thanks to the pandemic, now everybody knows about the supply chain issues and why their Amazon package didn't come on time. So I just logistics and operations and logic and all that. So that's why I studied supply chain management. Didn't really use it a day in my life, because after college, I went into tech consulting, really tried to do a lot of soul searching in college, but did not still understand if God gave people callings or if that was just a like prosperity gospel thing that wasn't true. But so all I knew to do was just go along with doing the most impressive thing that other people said was valuable or good to do. So I accepted a tech consulting offer with a large consulting firm. And even though I had no training or background in the details of big app development projects, Audrey, you're shaking your head.
Nodding in agreement.
We went into tech and just like, I don't know, had to think on our feet constantly. And in that whole experience, I just got so burnt out. I heard this great quote that burnout doesn't come from doing too much. It comes from doing what you don't have to give. And did that just hit you? I was like, whoa. When I heard that, I just thought, oh, locked into brain forever. That's a good one. And I was burning the candle at both ends, just trying to show everyone, no, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. But it did not align with my nature, the way that God designed my brain to work. So this is what I see a lot of high performers falling into, is getting into impressive type A jobs and finding out it doesn't align with their talents, and that is going to catch up with them. And pure effort alone is going to run you ragged if that's all you have. And So I ended up feeling very stupid. It really made me have a hit to my self-esteem, even though I was like getting high marks and like good reviews and raises and all that. But I just knew on the inside, I just felt like a deep imposter. And so that made me really ask God, I actually have no good ideas for my career. Can you please help? And I sought out other counsel. I did everything. I took all the personality assessments. I asked every friend, asked for advice from anyone I could get coffee with. And I studied people that seemed like they really liked their careers. And I wondered, from a Christian perspective, God, am I allowed to seek fulfillment and purpose and like mission in the business realm? Is that allowed? Or is that secular? And the only people who get callings are told by you to sell everything, go teach vacation Bible school in Africa or something. That's the very, very bare bones, poor theology of work that I had to go off of at the time. And it wound up, I was so completely, I guess I felt strapped, stuck with that, like that, this can't be right. So through desperation, I just really had to say, this can't be true. Like, does God really want me to keep on getting sick all the time?
Oh my God.
And even having like mystery illnesses that like landed me in the hospital. I'm not proud to admit it. I really wanted to come off as like super tough, but these things were just becoming more and more obvious as I can't stay here. So all to say, I tried all of the traditional advice, read all the books, prayed endlessly, and I still felt like, why is it so hard to figure out what you're really called to do? And why does advice seem so random or bare bones, or like do what you love or just pray and it'll work out? And I don't want to diminish the power of prayer. Audrey, you know that we don't in our mm-hmm. coaching practice at all, mm-hmm. but there had to be something more that I was missing. So through it all, seeking God for answers, realizing that the Bible does reveal that there is no difference between sacred, air quotes, and secular, air quotes, work. There is sacredness in secular work, which is actually a book coming out by Jordan Rayner that I'm going to get to interview him about. And I think it's going to be so meaningful and necessary, and that I needed a few years back. All to say, I realized that there were a few key components missing in pretty much any Christian's idea that I had been speaking with at the time, including me, idea of how to discern your calling in a practical sense and find the job title that aligned with it, and then figure out who's hiring and then actually get that job.
Chills. So, that always gives me chills.
Yeah, there, it's like, it has to be biblical and practical. And when I was seeking out help, I really just found like resume writers that pretended that's all you really needed to land a new job is to endlessly perfect your resume, when we know really that's not true and it's not mm-hmm. enough. And then on the other side, when I tried to seek out people who could help me with clarity and direction, I had a tremendously hard time finding somebody who followed biblical values and didn't just go into prosperity gospel or new age ideology of like, you know, you're the captain of your own ship, create and manifest your life. And that, all this set up to say, that is when God met me with emphasis added for like how harrowing this experience was. Cause at the time, this was like the most profound encounter I had ever had with God. I think it was Valentine's Day. I was in a hotel, mm-hmm. just alone, kind of going about my business on a business trip. And the loudest thought I have ever had hit me. And it was not my own, okay? And it said, go deploy my soldiers to the stations in society that they were made to serve in. And I was like, that's strangely militaristic and not something that my 24-year-old self at the time would just like come up with. And I also knew exactly what it meant. I knew it was a spiritual deploying role, a preparing and deploying role for Christian marketplace professionals. And I learned through my own market research that that's really, there is a title for that. It's called career coaching. Mm-hmm. And cue though, I was 24 and I was like, God, are you serious? You have bad taste. Who's going to listen to me? Literally what? And I think reading Exodus chapter 3 and 4, I related a lot, as many of us probably do, when God calls you to something new, to Moses when he said, surely not me. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody's going to listen to a girl. Sorry, that was like my inner thought at the time. Like, I'm just this little girl. Like, what?
I'm just a teenage girl.
Yeah, basically 24 though. And I felt so profoundly that God was just saying, trust me. And since then, that was early 2018, I decided to leap and quit my corporate job. And I started very humbly, of course. And it was slow going in every way, in every way.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the Lord just kind of, I felt like really pressed on me. And I mentioned this in my TEDx talk. Give yourself a 5-year budget to look like an idiot. Just give yourself a 5-year budget to look absolutely crazy. It's allowed to look terrible and unprofitable and unsuccessful and be slow. And you're allowed to encounter so many people not taking you seriously, and trust that at some point within those 5 years, in God's timing, all that preparation and humble times will have mattered. And 38 days before that, those 5 years were up, I was on the TEDx stage telling that story.
Amazing. And
so I love, so part of my heart behind this career coaching practice is giving people biblical and practical ways to discern what they're called to do, understand how to biblically make career decisions that are wise and not just unfaithfully blame everything on God and wait for him to paint something in the sky. We really are called to, there are some things that are up to our faithful partnership, mm-hmm. to ask, seek, knock, throw your shoulder into the door a couple more times, and be willing to accept sacrifice in humble times and see God so much more powerfully through your 9-to-5 efforts than you might on your average church service. Because work is, as Dorothy Sayers talks about, one of the best opportunities that we have to actually be in service through the work of our minds and our hands, and therefore live out our purpose of glorifying God, as well as in our relationships and in our church life and all the rest. It's all something that matters. But this is all just based on this premise that asking God, will you please call me? Will you commission me? Will you please deploy me? Is one of the greatest adventures that will show you exactly, as best as we can understand, who he designed you to be and what facet of his character you are meant to example to the earth as you, on your best days and through God's grace sometimes on your worst days, give others peaks of let it be on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
As we advance his kingdom through small business, through corporations, through restaurants, through good music, all of it matters. So blah, blah, blah. That's a bit about me. And then you come into this story late 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So last year,
mm-hmm.
When ironically, I was on this podcast that as a guest that you happen to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And once. Something
like once. Not regularly. Oh. It was the second time I had ever listened to that podcast.
Are you serious? Wow.
Yeah.
The yeah. Lord, he's crazy. He's just so crazy. Yeah. So you literally happened upon
mm-hmm.
a conversation that was published online, and something about, I'll let you tell this story, but something about what I was sharing really resonated with you. You ended up actually becoming a client.
Mm-hmm.
And from the get-go, all that's in the back of my mind is like, listen, I'm trying to be professional, but I just feel like she should actually join me.
Oh my God.
And so I was like playing it cool for the initial few sessions. But then every single time we talked, it just felt so obvious to me that I had been praying for years. I thought, God, I'm looking for like too much of a unicorn. I just don't know how you are going to bring someone in who's like willing to take a chance on being a part of this practice, this small operation, who also has like a corporate background, is someone I was hoping for that, because a lot of the people we serve, not all, but a lot, do have that corporate experience and they want someone who can relate to them, but is good at the mechanics and like being practical and strategic as a very technically excellent career coach, but someone who also has spiritual depth and discernment and just gifting from pure grace of God to help people in the formation of their life plans.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was like all that was going on in my head. I was like, God, I just don't know how this is going to happen or when this is going to happen, but please bring someone soon, because I was starting to get really overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
And then you came into the picture and I thought, oh my gosh, it all just makes so much sense. So it might not have to you at the time, but I'm very grateful that you accepted my proposition. And the last year of seeing you support clients has just been like a dream come true.
Oh my God.
And to see them be so served by you and like, yeah, for you to use your natural knack for things to pick it up quickly, it's just been awesome. So Audrey, would you please tell us a bit mm-hmm. about your professional background and how you came to feel called to this work? Because you did, like, separate mm-hmm. from my invitation, you really did take your discernment of like, Lord, is this for me, very seriously.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thank you, first of all, for sharing and for saying nice things about me. That's always nice to hear.
Oh, that's my favorite. I'm such a words of affirmation person.
Something that stuck out so much about your story that has been drilling into my mind since you said it is the idea of or the reality of feeling trapped in your career. And so many people resonate that with that. But immediately when you said that, I was thinking about how I feel so free in my career now. And because I'm walking in my calling, and I believe that I'm walking in my calling, and just encouraging people, like, work is not supposed to feel like a trap. Mm-hmm. That I think is a big mission behind what we do, and freeing people from that trap of 30 years and then you get to live, or 35 years, 40 years, whatever it is, and then you get to live once you get your retirement. It's like, oh my gosh, that's a huge, we could talk about that forever. But, and that's what I thought work was. That's where I started. And I think our stories are so funny with how similar, but how different they are, because I began completely different from you, with never having a real passion or dream for one thing in particular. And that left me very confused. And I went into school undecided, which was amazing. I had a really, really great experience with it. But I was so confused in that first semester, asking anyone who would listen to me, what should I major in? Like, not getting good counsel. I just ask anybody, what should I major in? And then people in my life also asking them who knew me, and nobody was able to offer a major for me. They were like, I don't really know. Like, you're good at these things, but I don't know what that looks like in a degree. I'm like, okay, great. Thank you. So helpful. But it was a really interesting practice that I just couldn't make sense of at the time, but I ended up declaring a humanities major specifically. I was like saying it because it's so wordy, but I majored in international studies focusing in security intelligence with business history and Russian minors, which is very specific, whoa, but also not specific in any way.
That's so legit. So,
it was really, and I loved it. I loved all of my classes. I loved it. And I was intending to use it to go for a career in government in some capacity. And there's a long winding story of how I ended up pursuing a career in sales. But the short version of that is I got to my senior year of college and I was like, I'm looking for some stability. I'm looking for a good paycheck and I'm looking for just to be able to like kick off my 20s post-college in a solid way. And I was able to secure a sales job, winding together my experience in a way that made sense, with the narrative being that I've always had this passion for perspectives. And that's all about what sales is about. It's, you know, understanding the perspective that somebody is speaking to you through, so then you can respond to that perspective in a way that they understand and get across your message so you can sell your products. So found myself in sales at a big tech company, selling database technology, not knowing anything about it. There's another parallel between our stories. And it's was fine. I mean, I didn't hate it. It was fine. It was what it needed to be. I met a lot of really, really great people through it. And it was probably about a year and a half into it where I was like, okay, this isn't my career. Like, this has been a job, but it's not my career. I need to start thinking about that next step. And then I'm just kind of like floating through and I'm making those commission checks and I'm like, oh, it's like kind of nice. And I like this whole, oh, I'll like clock in, clock out. And then I get to live this really fun life outside of work. And I started to fall into the work to live, not live to work mindset, which I'm not going to say is inherently bad. I'm not going to go that far, but I was using it in a way of like, I will sacrifice the 40 hours that I can live it up outside of work because that's what my 20s is supposed to be about. And then I'll just figure it out all out later. And that's what I started doing. And I started just traveling a lot and seeing the world and seeing my friends and couch surfing and all that good stuff, living a really, really chaotic life outside of work, which was so much fun. And I am so grateful for that time. But I remember that in October of 2022, so a year ago, I sat down, I finally like settled into an apartment, moved my stuff out of my car that it was in for a couple months, and opened my laptop on a Tuesday morning and was like, nope, this is not it. It was so clear as day to me that just in that moment, like curtain came down and I realized that I was distracting myself outside of work to hide the fact that I didn't actually like what I was doing anymore, particularly just because I didn't care about technology.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like everybody is built to care about something. And I think it's a problem to spend your life doing things that you don't have any sort of conviction behind except to collect money. That's not the intentional Christian life to the fullest that I think, which is whatever you do, do it with all your heart unto the Lord. And if you can't, because you just literally can't care, you can explore what aspects of that is just character development that needs to happen. But beyond that, if after some character development, you're still like, no, I cannot care. Sorry, cannot care about this technology. Then I would say the definition of faithfulness is not to stay, but actually to utilize the tremendous stores of energy, ideas, relationships, opportunities that God has given you to be able to go full force in a direction that you care about. I do not think that we are good stewards of employment and much more our bosses. You know, since being the owner of a small business, I now have so much compassion for employers, like splitting their paychecks with people, putting their customers in your hands, all this stuff. If you cannot do that excellently, please leave. please, for the love of God, leave and go into something that you can do excellently, wholeheartedly. Do not take advantage of an employer that hasn't noticed that
right.
you're not like the unicorn in their company, you know, and that. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I could go on that soapbox for a long time. I think faithfulness should more be mm-hmm. measured by, are you able to multiply, like the parable of the talents? Are you able, like the servants who multiplied the talents that were given to them, and handed back a return to their master? Are you able to do that? Or are you just hiding, playing small, burying what you have in the ground and just hoping like you stay there, don't lose anything, don't break all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was something that at this time was really starting. It had been eating away at me for a long time, how I wasn't working with excellence. And October of last year is when I finally came to terms with that myself. I was like, something's got to change because I don't feel good. A lot of what you were saying, I just don't feel good.
Yes. And it's amazing that you're saying like, oh, I wasn't working with excellence, because the reality is like, you and I both, like you made great sales for that company. Mm-hmm. You always hit or exceeded your quotas. Mm-hmm. You did what you were contracted for. And similarly, like I, like average rating for associates my age, like I did hit somehow like above the average rating, and I got good reviews, and I was placed with on ahead of my time, like over huge projects, and managed like 8 engineers and all this stuff. But I knew it yeah. was not like the most I could give. I knew that this is not the fullest picture of excellence for me.
Yeah. And then there's a fear that comes with that of like being found out, which I guess is the imposter syndrome, right? It's like, oh my gosh, are they going to find me out? And it was just not sustainable. And again, it goes back to the, I feel trapped in this, even though there's career growth, there's career opportunity, and I have the opportunity to make a great, you know, quotes around that, because I'm speaking mostly from a financial standpoint, a great career for myself and for my future family and whatever. But at what cost? At what cost? So I started to job search, and then I decided that that was really hard. So instead, I booked a trip to ignore all of my feelings. I fell into the, no, I didn't fall. I actively chose the flights, not feelings route. It was working for me at that point. So I go on this random trip to Denver. And Denver's a great city, but I was walking around Denver. I was like, why am I even here? I'm just ignoring everything that is going on in my head. So I'm flying back, and I realize that I'm not tired. I'm not going to take, like, I don't want to listen to music. I'm not going to take a nap on this plane ride. I think I want to listen to a podcast, which is not natural for me on a plane ride. I'm usually, I don't know. So I go and I'm scrolling like, okay. And I find, we'll give her a shout out, the Dream Check podcast with Nicole Ivanov.
Yes, Nicole. She's so good.
Yeah, it's a great podcast. And I had only listened to it once before, but I remember that I liked it. So I was scrolling through her episodes because it wasn't the most recent episode. And I was like, oh, Called Career, Christian Career Coach. That sounds like something that I need in my life. So download, listen, and whatever. I was like, this is going to be great. I didn't realize it was going to rock my entire world. I'm sitting on this plane ride, like in the middle seat, just jaw on the floor. Like, what? Oh my gosh, this is everything that I needed to hear. And just thanking God and praising God in that moment, because he was speaking so directly through this episode. And I got home that night. It's after midnight. I'm working the next day. And I still go on and schedule my consultation. I was like, I got to talk to this Kelsey girl. I got to see what's up. Which landed me as a client for the Called Career, and then eventually working as a career coach.
It was so funny. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you wanted to be a career coach or doing something like I was doing, but you were like, I don't want to be weird or...
Yeah, it was so weird for me, because I was filling out the homework that you do, the reflective work, I should say. And I was getting really nervous because the answers I was putting really started to reflect what you do at the Called Career, it's like, oh my gosh, she's going to think that I'm like trying to manipulate these answers to get hired. So I was like, okay, Audrey, you just got to focus on being yourself and writing your answers down and don't think about how she's going to perceive it. And then, so I really let go of that idea and we were in the career coaching session and I remember almost getting emotional because it was like, I know what I like to do now. Like I'd broken through some fears. You had helped me really address that, which was huge. I don't want to just like gloss over that. That was a really big moment for me, believing that God did have a specific calling on my life and coming to understand that. And so I was feeling emotional. I was like, okay, I get it. Like, but I don't understand how all of this random stuff points towards a career. Like, what the heck could this career be? And you were like, well, it's kind of my career.
Yeah. And it's amazing that that's what you help people do now. Like, you see all their seemingly, like, they'll think it's random, their interests or their attributes and their abilities. And you're like, no, this isn't random. Look, like, and we can go through not only an ideation and a spiritual discernment process of getting this picture of who they have been created to be, what they have been created to do exceptionally well, and who they feel compelled to serve with that thing. But we could actually analyze modern job titles that match that, as well as optimizing as best as possible for the various criteria that they have practically for a job or preferences. Like, we do serve quite a lot of sole breadwinners for their families. So obviously, like, income is important. And so I think that's the amazing thing, which I so enjoy about our practice, is that it, how do I say this? I bet you'd have good words for this, Audrey. It's like, you don't have to think that God is just going to play the opposite game with you. And if you really surrender your life to him, it's going to be like automatic poverty and desperation. I think that's one of the key things that I seek to help people with. It's like, yeah, there could be sacrifice, and sure as heck, there's hard work in making a career pivot. But work is meant to be a gift, and we have a good father that has created you for a good purpose. And anyway, I'd love to hear, as I'm sure the audience would too, of what are some of the key things about our practice that, and things that we lead clients through, that it's just too easy to miss when you're doing this work on your own.
Oh my gosh. It actually goes back to something that you said to me in one of my client calls. Okay. So I had two coaching calls. And
wait, really? That was it?
Yes. That was
for the record, most people have a lot more.
Yes. It was on the second call that we started having this conversation about me potentially working at the Called Career. But those two coaching calls, how often do I reference them where I say, oh, when I was a client, when I was going through the process, when I was doing this, because they were so impactful for me. And going off of that, something that I remember from one of those coaching calls is the way that you said it, where I was like, because I love this kind of work. I love introspective work. I love reflective work. I love personality tests. I will be in my journal all day long if I could, and figuring out these things about myself. And I was talking to you about that. I was like, but I don't get why can't I just like get past that? And you really said, what stuck with me was when you said, like, I am here to take that emotional burden off of you because I've already have the process laid out.
Yeah. And like, you don't have to create the roadmap and go through it. You could just go through it.
Yes. Amazing. Because I am one of those people where I do think that I can figure everything out to an extreme level, where I'm like, I mean, I could watch enough YouTube videos and figure that out. But the thing is, I'm not. I could just sew my own clothes if I watch enough YouTube and figure it out, but I'm not going to do that. You know, I could make gourmet meals every single meal if I wanted to, or, you know, I could, but I'm not doing it. And that's what I think is so valuable about our curriculum and the process that we take people through, it's like, I know you could do this on your own, but are you? Why haven't you done
That's
it
yet? So good. But are you? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you and I, in our calling journeys, both like drug our feet for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we like putzed around on like the 17th page of LinkedIn looking at jobs. And we're like, nope, still not interesting. Like, I still haven't found one. That's good.
Oh,
and
God.
Okay, what else am I supposed to do? Oh, okay, I guess call up friends from college, see if they like their jobs. Oh, nope. Oh, mm-hmm. Wow, this sucks. You know,
see somebody else. And maybe if they do, then I try to like copy and paste it to my life. That's not going to work.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is just actually having, like, some people will share, like, oh, I just think it would be too hard for me, or I didn't get the right major for what I really want to do. Neither you or I. Like, we basically were always every, like, 3 years doing something new or 4 years. And,
yeah.
Like, you're a humanities major. I'm a supply chain management major, tech. It's just like, you know, you can. I love helping people realize that if you are genuinely called to do something, your major is sure not going to stop God from deploying you to that station.
So true. Like, so true.
Like, if what in Exodus, he could literally. Do? Oh, sorry, what?
I was like, what is that piece of paper going to do against the creator of the universe? Please tell me.
Well said. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, if the God of the universe, that when the Israelites coming out of Egypt were literally between a rock and a hard place, and the Egyptians were coming up behind them, threw up a wall of fire and then split the freaking sea, that he cannot do you a solid and get you into a good job and help you realize that. Here's another thing that I think is so important is, like, I think that we're all walking around with like 5% awareness at best of what jobs are actually out there.
Yes, absolutely.
And so how do you effectively expand your awareness of what jobs are out there without, like I did, my best guess was just like, okay, I'm going to watch like 1,000 TED Talks and look at mm-hmm. the titles that come up across the screen and what these experts do. And then I'm going to try to Google. But the thing is, you are limited to what you know to type into Google.
Mm-hmm.
And so how then? So that's why, like, a huge part of our work is helping people effectively crowdsource their best career ideas and get into new pockets of humanity that are in industries that you didn't know existed.
Mm-hmm.
And then learn what is the whole tree of options and job titles there, and which one is best for me, if any, and if not, how can I use what I learned there to springboard into an even better idea? Because I didn't even know career coaching was a title until I used this process for myself. I did not grow up thinking like, oh wow, if I could just be a career coach. No, not at all. But then I look back only retrospectively on my life and I was like, oh, I was kind of always
yeah,
doing that. Like in childhood,
mm-hmm.
in college, like that's crazy. Anyway, and another thing I appreciate about, it's kind of easy for me to brag on you, about your perspective is that you're like very introspective. So you really enjoy going deep with people on mm-hmm. the understanding themselves and practically extrapolating that into career options. But then also when it's time to go get that job, all mm-hmm. your sales experience helped mm-hmm. you understand like metrics, numbers, outreach methods, success stats, how to actually build rapport with people quickly, how to translate your seemingly random background into yeah. something that actually appeals to future employers.
That's
and so favorite. I just knew, I think in my heart of hearts, I was like, Lord, please give me a sales girly. That would be amazing.
Oh my God.
And seriously, you have enhanced the practice so much in terms of like, especially our LinkedIn usage and the resume optimization and professional branding that you help our clients do. It's so cool.
It's
and then
so
the interview
fun.
Practice too.
It's so fun because it's my favorite thing. Maybe I shouldn't phrase it that way, because I don't love when a client feels like their background is random, because that's a really hard place to be in. But I love taking that, squashing that, and saying, this is how your narrative fits together. It makes sense to me.
Yes.
And it has to make sense to you, so you can confidently share it with everyone else. And it does make sense. What do you think? That God just like randomly put all these things in your life? It might feel that way. That's totally valid that it feels that way. I've been in that place too, and sometimes I'm still in that place, if we're being real. But taking yourself out of that, and that's another part of coaching that I did not realize would be so valuable, was the external voice. I'm so in my head all of the time that having that external voice to be like, oh, actually, this is how it could fit together instead, whatever that is in the reflective process or in the job search process. Just having that sounding board of somebody who was not a friend at the time, is a friend now. but you know, your friends, it's so hard to, I love my friends. I have very, very great friends, and they have such great advice and wisdom to share. But they have their own biases, and they have their own ways of doing things and their own way of understanding careers and the job market and just industries in general. And they're going to bring those biases into our conversations. And having a coach that was like, of course, not completely clean of all of that, because we're human, but it was their job to bring an objective perspective. Mind blowing. It was so helpful.
I love that. We kind of always need a partner for that, because mm-hmm. no matter how yeah. cool you are, you can't. I like how much of our growth recently has been because I get to brainstorm with you and you get to make sense of what's going on in my brain. we just like need partnership, and mm-hmm. And also your friends, like mine, are also great when I was going through my career transition, but. Maybe they haven't pulled off multiple massive career pivots. Mm-hmm. And maybe they haven't also seen a ton of people do seemingly, quote, impossible things. Like, we've helped dance teachers become marketing managers mm-hmm. and ministry leaders become successful client success managers in tech, and people in tech go into finance, and so many quote impossible pivots that did not require going back to school or even taking a pay cut mm-hmm. in many cases. Some cases, yes. Like, I am very grateful for my lawyer clients that are like, listen, I'm okay with discontinuing the selling of my soul for $250,000 a year. I'm willing for a pay cut. That's fine. But yeah. So anyway, I think it's just so helpful to not just receive pep talks from whoever you're getting advice from, but actual like, no, here, I could show you someone who was against greater odds than you mm-hmm. and it still worked out.
Yeah. And the accountability that comes with it too, because we see that so often with our clients, just having those checkpoints with them. But I have to bring it back to my friends, because this story popped into my head where I have a friend who we, on my birthday last year, so in September of 2022, before my I'm not going to say mental breakdown in October, but my realizing it was time to get
your breakthrough.
Breakthrough. That's
not breakdown.
Yes, such a better way to put it. It was my birthday. We were all out to dinner and just having a conversation about careers, I guess. And she turns to me and she goes, oh yeah, July, 2023. I don't think I've told you this. She turns to me and goes, July, 2023. I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, that's when we're supposed to check in with you. I was like, you got to fill me in. Like, what's going on? She's like, you asked for us to check in on you in July, 2023, if you have not moved careers yet. Shout out to this friend. I did not even remember saying that. And it was the accountability I needed, that I was like, okay, I've got people watching. Like, I've got people who care about me enough to make sure that I'm getting a move on this, that I'm keeping my life on track. And that was such a crucial moment for me. And then when did I switch out of my tech job into this?
Crazy. You started part-time helping me in January 23, and you went full-time with me no less than July 2023.
Yes. It was crazy. That was such a crucial moment. So all of that to say, friends are so important in your career journey, and accountability is so important, and you can find that in your friends sometimes, but you will find it in an external source, like a coaching process where you've got the homework assignments. I always kind of hate calling it homework, but it is. Homework doesn't have to be bad
if you don't do them.
Homework assignments.
We want you to actually get a job.
Yes. You have a timeline that we like to give our clients, so you don't have to keep to it because ultimately it's God's timeline. But you have the accountability check-ins, and it's so valuable. And you don't have to do it all by yourself.
You don't have to. That's why our new website, shout out, coming, Lord willing, December 2023, we hired Simber Studios to do an amazing rebrand. So we're formally not kelseykemp.com anymore. It's thecalledcareer.com. That's one where we decided to put the Ecclesiastes verse in there of a strand of two cannot be easily broken, and a strand of three is even stronger. And it's like, get partnership, don't do things alone. I'm mortified at how much I butchered that. I was really confident going in. I was like, I know this verse. And then
you did better. Check
out our new website for the real one. Well, thank you so much for joining me for this big debut of, well, if anybody's meeting me for the first time, hopefully they got a little bit more context on where either both of us are coming from. But then for a long time Answer the Call listeners, they got to meet you finally.
Oh, nice to meet all of you.
Yeah, it's so weird because you've had such main character energy in my life for a year. So
it is crazy that it's been a year.
Yeah. Wow. Cheers. Cheers to many hundreds more people being served. Maybe thousands. Oh my gosh.
Dream big.
All right. See you soon.
Bye.